This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
All right, we have been in this amazing series over the last few weeks. We've been looking at Psalms 23, one of the most familiar, powerful, incredible pieces of Scripture that most of you have probably at some point in your life, whether you've been in faith or you haven't, you've heard it and you've heard this Scripture and been along. And so we've been diving into it, written by King David, a very prominent figure in the Bible and in Christian faith. And he's at a point of anxiety. He's at a point of uncertainty. He's at a point of confusion. He's not writing this as a young teenager sitting in the field. He's writing this when he's king, and his own family has turned on him. And so here we are at this point, and he writes this amazing song about life. And that's the thing I think we want to dive on, is that this is not necessarily a psalm about dying. This is a psalm about living, to encourage you today to walk through all the things that God has for your life. So every week since we've started this series, we've been doing this together. I love it. It's powerful. Not something that we normally do. But because of the six verses, can we read this together? I love it. With as loud as you can, as with much umph as you can, can we join me in reading this amazing psalm? Psalms 23, it'll be on the screen for you. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Isn't that awesome? Man, when you just read that, you can feel the presence of God coming out of the Word of God, right? It's awesome. Psalms 23. And so this morning, today, on this particular day, we want to focus on verse 3 out of this powerful psalm, which simply says this. It reminds us, "He guides me along the right path for his namesake." He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Now, every week, we've had this phrase, this theme that will lead us as we talk about this particular verse, or every verse every week. And so I want to give you the phrase that will guide our lives. I want to give you the phrase that we'll be talking about for the remainder of our talk today, but it's simply this. The idea and the theme from verse 3 is simply the right path. The right path. Now, I've been enjoying learning, even for myself, so many things over these weeks. I've been learning about this thing called sheep husbandry. And I know you're like, now, I don't know about you, but maybe you're not familiar with sheep husbandry. But it is a real term and a real word. I Googled it. I had to make sure because it just didn't sound right to me. But sheep husbandry, it just sounded unnatural. But sheep husbandry. Now, not many of you know this about me. I don't think I've ever shared this from this stage. But you might not know, but there was a short time in my high school career growing up in Florida, just a very short time, that I was part of this little organization called Future Farmers of America. Now, I'm anything but a future farmer of America, all right? Plants, animals, gardens come to me to never succeed and to die. Are there any future farmers of America in the room, or was future farmers in America, a couple of you, right? Yeah, a few of us in the room, right? We need to probably go and reminisce and get counseling together after this, and we can go to Lolo Steakhouse, the Trough, you know, somewhere like that. But as you can tell, that didn't go good for us. None of us are farmers. But listen, I believe this. After this series, when you walk out of this, if you hang in there with us, if you go back and you catch up, or even if you're just starting and you hang in there with us, I know two things are going to happen when this is all said and done. The first thing I know is simply this: we're going to love Jesus more. We're going to love Jesus more. The second thing I know is that we could probably start an amazing, amazing CLC sheep farm right here in this place. So be prepared. We might be raising some sheep in the very near, on the back part of our property. You might see some sheep farm pop its head up. We can raise money for missions, or I was even thinking we could have a theme like keep our staff employed fund through sheep. Wouldn't that be really cool? In fact, imagine our CLC logo on a sheep, right? Like imagine, like, wouldn't that be great? Like we just brand every sheep with our CLC logo and they come out of this place. That'd be awesome. I personally enjoyed learning about sheep because David was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. So when he wrote Psalms 23, the word pictures that he used, the allegories, the parallel, it was all intentional. Like it was from his experience. It had real meaning to him, and he could speak through it from what he had actually been through. It was all about his experiences as a shepherd. And so we have Peep back with us again. I just call her Peep, you know, or our little sheep here. He's staring at you awkwardly. You ever notice that? He's just looking at me. And he's got this weird stare. But Peep, you know, he's there. And David takes this example of a shepherd and a sheep. And he talks about it and he gives us life, right? And he parallels it between shepherding and our relationship with God. Psalms 23 wasn't written so that you could become a really good sheep farmer. It was written so that you could parallel how your shepherd, your God, wants to lead you, how he wants to care for you. And this is what he's writing about. He's basically saying in this part of the scripture, he leads me on the right path for his namesake. He was actually using terminology that paints this amazing picture for us, that if you are a shepherd, you just can't put sheep in a field and hope they survive. It's given us this picture like you just don't leave sheep all by themselves. You don't just put them in a field and hope, well, maybe they'll make it on their own. Sheep are more complex than that, right? They're actually quite a destructive animal in real life. And if you put a sheep on a plot of land, literally, and you just leave them there, they will literally eat the grass to the roots. They'll take it all out until it's gone. And how many know when the roots are gone, the grass is gone? They're that destructive. And now besides not having food, how many know if you leave them unattended in that non-grassy field, what tends to happen to the wool? The wool gets dirty and filthy and grows. And how many know the wool is actually the prized thing that comes from a sheep? The most money that is generated from a sheep is based on the quality of the wool. The whitest wool receives the most money. So if they eat all their food, they lose their nutrients, and they become unhealthy. Here's the reality. I love this morning. It'll be on the screen. But the health of the sheep is a representation of the shepherd. The health of the sheep is a representation of the shepherd. So if the sheep are unhealthy, that shows us that the shepherd was a bad shepherd. But if the sheep are healthy, it shows us that the shepherd was a good shepherd. And here this morning, CLC, how many of you know we serve a really good shepherd? We serve a great shepherd. He is a good shepherd that loves us, that leads us, and he absolutely has a plan for your life. So unhealthy sheep, how many of you know, I think unhealthy sheep are actually quite easy to notice. Like we have a picture here today, like this is an unhealthy sheep. Like that's you don't look at that sheep and go, I want that wool on my back. Like you don't look at that sheep and go, you know what? That sheep's probably really tasty. Like that's a skinny, unhealthy, not looking good sheep. But look at this guy. He'll be on the screen. Look at him. Right? Look at that guy. Now this guy, I mean, he's amazing. He's got wool thicker than a bowl of oatmeal, right? You know, he is, you want to cuddle with him? He's got the poodle mop top going on. I mean, he's just cute and he's healthy. I want to tell you today, we serve a good shepherd who desires for you to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy, not just physically and not just emotionally, but even probably more importantly, you have a good shepherd who desires for you to be spiritually healthy, to be spiritually healthy. And God desires for you to be healthy because he's a good shepherd. And a good shepherd wants to lead you and lead each and every one of us to a thriving and healthy place. Maybe you're here this morning and I'm like, are you at that place? Are you leading toward that place where your life is thriving, where your spirituality just feels healthy? I love that the scripture throws out some promises to us, some very familiar promises, but Romans 8 reminds us, no, in all things, we are more than conqueror through Him who loved us. Through Him who loved us. He tells us, you are more than conquerors. I want you to be in a thriving, healthy place. I want you to be more than conquerors. He goes on in another familiar scripture, 1 Corinthians reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Listen, we are not called to live according to your old past. The good shepherd wants to lead you and me to new things, to healthier things, to thriving things. We are called to thrive. We are called to be healthy. More importantly, we are called to live as representations of a good shepherd in the world that you live in today. I pray that all the time to our young people, to my kids, to myself. May I be a good representation. I'll be straight honest with you. There are many days I have to text my wife and say, pray for me. I'm about to flesh out. Nobody else is like that, just me. And I'm like, you got to pray for me because I don't want that for my life. I want to be in a thriving, healthy place. And that's what God wants you, because I also know that I am a representation of my good shepherd. I represent Him. But in order to do those things, we have to get to the place where we trust the shepherd to lead us to those healthy places. And so this morning, quickly, the right path for you and I to be led on the right path, I think it comes with really three keys that you can even find in this scripture. Keys that in this room, if we want to follow the good shepherd and we want to be on the right path, we have to institute these things in our lives. So this is a theme throughout this series, but you get this morning. Here's the first key for you if you're taking notes. Your habits, how many know your habits determine your lifestyle? Your habits determine your lifestyle. Absolutely. Nothing earth-shattering, but it's a truth. Your habits will determine how you live. Isaiah 53:6 reminds us, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. Now, we've said this before, we said it last week, but sheep wander. Sheep have a way of getting off course. We wander. And the reality is we, as humans, we wander ourselves. And I believe this, the majority of our wandering is because of our habits. The habits have a way of taking us off course in our lifestyle. In fact, Proverbs reminds us this way. It says, there is a way, and the key word of this whole scripture, there is a way that seems. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. There are habits that seem right to you, but they destroy your lifestyle. They take you down the wrong path. And what I found is many times we have these unhealthy habits in our lives. We all have habits, right? You probably could nudge your neighbor right now and say, oh, yes, you do. You have habits, and I know them. I'm very much aware of them, right? Like, I had to search really hard to find these, but I have a few unhealthy habits, right? It took me a while to find a few, but like I know, I'll give you a couple of my unhealthy habits. When I get ice out of the ice maker at the fridge, by the way, crushed ice only, all right? So, and it spills on the floor, do I bend over to pick it up? Of course not. Like, I just give it a little kicky kick under the refrigerator, right? Or I call my dog over. It likes ice for some reason. I'm not going to bend over and pick it up, right? My mindset is it will evaporate over time. Truth, right? I love barbecue chips. Like, not just barbecue chips, but like the kettle kind. You know what I'm talking about? Like that are fried. Like the ones that if you eat too many of them, your mouth starts to bleed. You know what I mean? Those kind. But maybe you can identify. Are you that person too? Like you've eaten the bag, but there's crumbs at the bottom of the bag. Like, you know, the leftover crumbs. And you're like, instead of just throwing it away, you fold it up and you put it back in the shelf. Like, maybe I'll get back to it later, right? That makes my wife so mad. Like, why don't you just throw this away? There's still some left. Why would I throw it away? Right? It's just those habits that we have. Like, and here's my last one, like milk, right? I like it, but not when you're around. Like some of you have a really bad habits of like dipping cookies in your milk. That's disgusting. Some of you have a really bad habit of drinking the cereal milk after it's done. That's disgusting. That is if I'm around you, I will vomit. Those types of things are just gross to me. It's a terrible habit. But we all have unique habits, right? With these bad habits in our lives that eventually become our lifestyle, and they get us to a really unhealthy place. And yeah, there's funny habits, but what about the habit in your life where you intend to spend time with God? Like, God, I'm going to spend more time in your word. I'm going to spend more time worship you. I'm going to spend more time in your word. But how many know the other habits get in the way? The other things that you do. Like what about the commitments that you've made to follow God in certain areas of your life, and the other habits get in the way? And the other habits win. The habits, they steal what God wants to release in your life. You know, and you say, well, my habit is I don't give to the church. Because you know what? What I have is mine. This is my habit. I've earned it. And all the church wants to do is steal it. Can I say to you today, I'm just going to be honest, as your pastor, that's an unhealthy habit. It's not yours. It's the good shepherd's. We'll get to that. What about the habit that, you know, that you get to this place where many times you don't see the unhealthy habit in your life, but others see it, and more importantly, God sees it? What about the habit that causes you to neglect your family and your spouse and your church? But maybe even at the top of it, what about the habit that causes you to neglect your God? These habits, they lead us down to really unhealthy places, and we have to look at the core root of our habits. And I have it for you this morning. If you're taking notes here, the core root of your habit, the thing that always wants to drive us to unhealthy place, is this one thing, this one word, this one action, this one habit, and it's called comfort. We are creatures of comfort. Like we want to say to ourselves, don't stretch me, don't challenge me, don't push me. I like where I am, and I don't want anybody else telling me what to do. I don't want anybody telling me how to act and how to live. Let me tell you, there is rarely anything in life that is of worth that you will attain on the other side of comfort. Let me say it again, there's nothing in life that is of worth that you will attain on the other side of comfort. Can I just encourage you, comfort rewards you nothing. It rewards you, especially spiritually. In fact, get this morning if you're taking notes. Our desire to be comfortable is at odds with God's desire for us to be righteous. It's at odds. You can't be righteous when you're taking comfortability into your faith. Well, I don't give because that's uncomfortable, so I'm going to be comfort. What hurts your righteousness? Well, I don't serve. I don't worship. I don't do these things because it's uncomfortable to me. Well, guess what? It intersects and interferes with your righteousness. Listen, I would love to tell you that when you go all in for God, that, you know, life just slows down. I'd love to tell you that everything that was wrong went right. I'd love to tell you that you wake up that next day and you check your bank account and there's $1 million in there. Amen? Right? Come on. I'd love to tell you all the things, but here's the truth. How many of you know we still have to say no to things even when we go all in? Even when you're serving God, we still have to fight those unhealthy relationships. Your flesh is going to want some things that you're going to have to fight against. 2 Timothy 2 reminds us, right? It says, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pursue. You got to pursue faith. You got to pursue righteousness. You got to pursue love and peace, all those things. And you have to flee evil desires, because evil desires are unhealthy, and they lead you to unhealthy habits. Listen, I wrote this down very simply. I need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You in this room today have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I remember doing a wedding once in the middle of July. And this wedding was not in the morning. It was in the afternoon. And not only that, it was not indoor with this beautiful air condition. It was outdoor. 2 p.m., July, outdoor wedding. It gets better. in an open pasture, an open field. And I remember standing there wearing a suit, having self-talk, saying, Heath, don't pass out. As I'm wobbling, don't pass out. I'm looking at my wife, Kim, and I'm mouthing to her, I'm just not going to make it. And as I'm standing there drenching, I remember that my old football coach in my ear when he would say to the team, just make friends with it. Just make friends with it. And I'm like, okay, high heat and sweat. How are you? Let's be friends right now. Let's enjoy what's going on. Here's the reality for me, right? In that moment, like, I'm committed. And here's what I would say to all of you in the room, right? I can't change the circumstance, but I can change my attitude. Can't change the circumstance, but I can change my attitude. There are going to be things in life that are going to be uncomfortable. Just uncomfortable. It's bound to happen. And I'm going to say this over and over again. Giving is uncomfortable. Serving is uncomfortable. How many of you know possibly some of the fun things in your life are going to give those up is going to be uncomfortable. Getting to church can be uncomfortable. Amen, right? Get it. If you're a parent, getting those kids here today was uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Serving God can be uncomfortable. But hear me, I never saw Jesus pursuing a life of comfort. Never saw Jesus pursuing a life of comfort. Like, if you read through the gospel, he was never the one going, hey, you know what, Peter and John, I'm thinking of investing in a vacation cabin. What do you think? I never saw Jesus, you know, at that place, you know, this preaching gig, it just doesn't pay well. Like, maybe let's find a more suitable career. Let's settle in Galilee and let's franchise. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus wasn't having those conversations, but no, he was literally praying through the night, having dinner with sinners while Christians persecuted him. He was literally mobbed with crowds. He was literally, listen, he washed the feet of his disciples, uncomfortable, even the one that he knew would betray him. He sweat drops of blood in the garden because why? He was uncomfortable. But it didn't stop him. Thankfully, he capped it all off by ultimately dying an uncomfortable death on the cross for you and for me. I'm so glad that God, our good shepherd, didn't pursue comfort. That he embraced a life of discomfort. And he embraced a life of pursuing God. Hear me this morning. If you're taking notes, this is a good one. You need to write this down. Your lifestyle reflects the God you follow or that you didn't follow God. Or that you don't follow God. It either does either one. There's no middle ground, church. It's either your life reflects I follow God or reflects the opposite. There is no middle ground for you. I would just say to you, show me your lifestyle and I'll show you who's leading you. Show me your lifestyle and I'll show you who's leading you. The second thing here, I love this, is how are we led on the right path? Well, listen, I think this, embrace the reality that your shepherd will reveal your steps. Your shepherd will reveal your steps. I love Jeremiah 50, right? He writes this. He says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and caused them to roam on the mountains. They wander over mountain and hill and forget their resting place. I'm just being all real today. Let me ask you something. Who's leading you? Who's leading your life? Who are you following in your life right now? Let me ask you, who is your shepherd? Because I just believe everyone has a shepherd. I want you to look at this picture right here. This is a picture of a hill that's where the sheep would roam. Literally a pasture of sheep. Those little marks you see there, those are carved out ruts from the walking path that every day in and day out, the sheep would take these paths. You can tell they never deviate from it. They're just going the same way, following the same path all over but it's constant and constant and constant. Can I say something to you? If we aren't careful, we can get so caught up in what society and what culture is doing and telling us that eventually we find ourselves just walking the same path. We can get so caught up in what society and culture is telling us to do, telling us to believe, telling us how to act, that if we're not careful, we'll forget about the paths of righteousness. And let me just be a little old school for you. Not only will we forget about the paths of righteousness, but if we're not careful, we'll forget about the paths of holiness. And we are called to be holy. Listen, there is a narrow way. In fact, Jesus even said it himself. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but what did he say? Narrow is the way that leads to life. You and I got to be willing to say, hey, look, what path? Who's leading you? What direction? Who are you following? What shepherd's taking you where? Hear me. This is a great statement. It'll be on the screen. But just because the path is carved out doesn't mean it's going to lead you where you want to go. Just because the path's large doesn't mean it's going to lead you where you want to go. And let me just add another statement there. Not only that, but not only is it carved out where it's going to lead you where you want to go, but maybe it won't lead you where you need to go. It's not leading you where you need to go. I'm afraid that we find ourselves following sheep all the time. We just follow sheep wherever they go, right? And we're following sheep in our lives who have no idea where they're going. And yet we still tend to follow them. And I believe when we follow others, when we listen to others, you know, we need to stop and ask ourselves, do I want my end result to be like theirs? Does their life exemplify something that I want to exemplify? When I'm following them, when I'm listening to them, is their life something that I want for myself? I just believe this. We take marriage advice from people who we probably don't need to be taking marriage advice from. We take lifestyle advice probably from people who we don't need to be taking lifestyle advice from. I would even go further. We take church advice and faith advice from people who we probably shouldn't be taking their advice, right? We've learned this throughout this talk about sheep, but I'm just sorry to tell you, and I'm just here to remind you, sheep aren't very smart. Like Peep here, he's not the brightest crayon in the box, all right? He's just not. And we got to be asking ourselves this morning, who am I following? Who's speaking into my life? Who's leading me? What path are these people leading me on? Because here's the reality, right? I want to give you the best advice I could give you today. Listen, these dumb sheep, when they want to advise you, and if you ever hear this, I'm encourage you to walk away as quick as you can. But when the advice comes, follow your heart. Run. Just follow your heart, right? The whole, am I doing it right, kids? I don't know. Just follow your heart. What does your heart say? Your heart will lead you. Your heart is great. Listen, can I just encourage you this? That's cute for a Disney movie, but that's not real cute when it comes to life. Especially not real cute when it comes to faith. Because the reality is our hearts are dumb. Our hearts listen. Don't listen to your heart. In fact, the Bible even tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Don't trust it. It will lead you astray. And that is why God is a good shepherd. That's why he's a good shepherd, because he promises to lead you down the right path, in the right direction, to guide you down the right path, to send you down a path of righteousness. And he adds that one talk for his namesake. And you might not have thought about this, but well, you know what namesake simply means? It's like your brand. Your brand. Like nobody wants their brand to look bad. You don't want your, how many know you don't want your family name to look bad? How many of you had kids and you're like, don't you destroy our good name, right? And that's basically what God is saying. He's like, he believes so much in his name that he's willing to put it out there. And he's willing to say, try me, right? He's willing to put out, it's a matter of my good name. So I'm going to lead you down a path of righteousness for my name's sake. Boy, that is amazing thing for you to grab. God is adding his signature to where he's going to lead you. It's powerful. So I don't have to lead myself this morning. I don't have to trust in myself this morning. I have a really good shepherd who is leading me, and he's guided me to a place of health and a place of thrive. To thrive. Listen, Deuteronomy says it this way. The Lord himself, you've all heard, maybe heard this before, goes before you. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Those are powerful words. You and I have a promise that He goes before me, that the shepherd has already planned out where they want to take you. Every morning in the Middle East, shepherds get up and they know they have a plan. This is where we need to take the sheep for them to thrive. This is where we need to take the sheep to be healthy. And listen to me, your good shepherd in the same way knows exactly where He wants to lead you. And He's not going to leave you, and He's not going to forsake you. And you and I can have faith and comfort this morning that your Heavenly Father, your shepherd, already knows where you're going, and He already knows where He wants to lead you. He's already got that purpose for your life. He's already got that place for your life. But all you have to do is allow Him to lead you. That's the uncomfortable part. The problem is we get caught up in what I call the in-between. Like we leave what we used to be, and then you get to that in-between spot where you used to be the in-between to where this new place that God wants to take you to, this new place that God has for you. And too many Christians get caught up and live life in the in-between. How many know you will never be satisfied in the in-between season? I'm telling you this morning, don't camp there. Don't lose focus there. Don't give up there. You have to keep following until you get where God wants you. Don't give up. Don't give up in the hard, uncomfortable things, right? Too many casualties happen in the in-between seasons where we start to have the talk. Well, where is God? Where's God at? God's not with me. Why has He abandoned me? Can I give you the truth this morning? He hasn't. He hasn't abandoned you. He will never leave you. He will never give up on you. And I just wonder this morning if the good shepherd is looking at us in this room and he wants to shout out, he wants to cheer you on and say, listen, man, you just have to keep walking, church. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose focus. Don't get caught up in that deep rut that you're walking in. You're not there yet, but I'm leading you down the right path. I'm guiding you. I'm taking you where you just follow me. Like, I know it doesn't look the way that you thought it should look like, but I've got green pastures for you. I got still, quiet waters waiting for you. You just have to keep following me. Don't get lost in the in-between. You just got to keep following your good shepherd. He knows where He's going, and you and I can have confidence that He knows where He is leading you this morning. Last key I want to give you this morning is simply this, right? You want to go down the right path? You want to allow the shepherd to lead you down the right path? Well, you know what it's going to take? It takes faith to follow. It takes faith to follow. It's a key. And I love faith. I love talking about faith. I love it all the time because honestly, faith is one of those things we talk a lot about in church. But when it comes to actually practicing, how many of you know faith becomes pretty scary? Faith is a scary thing. If you face health crises, if you face family dynamics, if there's things that you've done to step out of areas of your life that you know you need to change, then you can absolutely identify with the fact that faith is scary. I love how Martin Luther King, he actually said it this way. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And in 2024, we love to see the whole staircase. And God's like, no, just take a step. Just trust me. Have faith. Move forward. My wife loves the beach. She reminds me of that probably daily. And I grew up in the ocean. I grew up at the beach. I grew up in Florida. And so for me, as soon as I hit water that's above my waist and I can't see what's under it, no thank you. All right? That's just who I am. It's just not natural to me. I don't know if God wanted me to swim, He'd made me breathe underwater. You've heard all that before, right? So like, why even be in this whole thing? And I've been there, right? I've been in the beach. I grew up there where something bumped into your leg and you don't know what it is, right? And you're just walking on water at that point. Like, I've seen Jaws. I know how it works out. I'm just not interested in it because it's just, I don't know it. Some of you in the church here in Montana, if you're new to Montana, like, I'm just going to give you a warning. When someone says, let's go hiking, don't do it. Just don't do it. Number one, it's not fun. But, you know, let's go hiking. And I want to look at them. I'm like, do you know that bears can hide, right? Like they don't, the bears don't announce, hey, I'm going to eat you right now. I'm coming. I'm going to eat you. Watch out. Get your gun ready. Get your bear spray ready. Here I come. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's the unknown, right? Oftentimes with faith, we don't know what's on the other side. That's what faith is. You have no clue what's on the other side. But hear me this morning. Clearly, it wouldn't be faith if it wasn't that way. They wouldn't call it faith if you knew what was on the other side. If God would say, hey, I want you to do this so that this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. How many know that's not faith? And it should be Christianity 101, but we still have to get to the point where we trust God and say, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know what you told me, so I will follow you and I will trust you. That is faith, church. And that's what God's called you to live by. John 10 reminds us that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. That's why it's so important for you to know the good shepherd. That's why it's so important for you and I to have this amazing relationship with our God, because you have to know your sheep or your shepherd. You have to know where he's leading you and where he's guiding you. Just a few verses later, he goes on to simply say this. He says, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. And I'm worried, church, that we've gotten so busy, so overwhelmed, so distracted, so involved to listening to all the other voices in our lives that we fail to hear the voice of God speaking in our lives. We just don't hear him. Let me ask you, when was the last time you just paused your life? Like you just paused and you shut everything out and you stopped talking and you just took a moment and said, God, I want you to speak to me. I just want you to speak to me. When's the last time you made that effort in your life? I've seen it before, and maybe you've heard it, but I've seen it live where two shepherds were literally bringing their flocks down a road, and they came to a combining area, and all the flocks gathered together. And the first thing you're saying is, oh, how are they ever going to get these sheep? How do they know whose sheep belongs to who? And they're just like very unassumed shepherds just walking down the road, no big deal, just doing their thing. And all of a sudden, one shepherd raises his voice and the sheep spread out. Because the sheep that were his know his voice and they follow him. Do you have that kind of voice of God in your life where you're like, he's speaking to me, he's leading me, he's directing me? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Because I believe this, it'll be on the screen, but trust simply means to release control. Lord, I just follow your voice. And I lead what you have for my life. Can I just tell you, there is power in realizing your need for God. There's power in it. The world would say, well, there's weakness in that. It's weak to realize that you need God. I would say to you the opposite. It's power to realize that you need God. To get to a place that says, I can't do this on my own. I can't handle this on my own. God, you're my healer. God, you're my provider. God, you're my deliverer. God, I put my faith and my trust in you. So this morning as I close out, I just say this, you know, there are real practicals that I think the shepherd would want you to grasp this morning as we get ready to leave this place. And I think he wants you to grasp this, that you need to trust his protection. I think we've lost it in 24, where our trust and our protection comes from so many outside ways and outside sources. And I think God would say, no, I want you to trust me. To trust his protection. The shepherds would take this staff, and I love it, you know, like they would use it for so many different ways. It served so many different tools, but one of the various ways and one of the most common ways that the shepherd would use the shepherds is that when they would lead their sheep, right, and one of the sheep would want to get astray or try to wander off and move off, the shepherd would just take this rod and he would just nudge the sheep. Hey, get back in line. Where do you think you're going? Hey, that's not the place for you. That's not safe for you. And I'm going to direct you where I think that you need to go. So they just bump them back on the path. You need to hear this today. Can I tell you the blessing of conviction in your life is that it should never be underestimated. Conviction should never be underestimated. How many? I would encourage you the opposite. You and I need to welcome God's conviction in our lives. We need to welcome it. Whenever we start making those unhealthy decisions, that's when the Word and the Holy Spirit kicks in and it says, hey, I'm going to bump you back on the right path. Don't fight the conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, no, because maybe you're getting off the right path. And the good shepherd comes along and says, I'm going to put you on the right path. And I will encourage you, it's not God trying to control you. It's not God trying to be mean. Hear me, he loves you. And he's saying to you, no, listen, there's wolves out there. He's saying to you, no, listen, there are traps out there. No, there are things that you don't see, but I see them. And those things can destroy your life. Those things can destroy your purpose. They can destroy your calling. And they will lead you off the right path. But for some of you in the room today, I think the Lord is standing before you, the good shepherd with the staff, and he's giving you little nudges this morning. And he's reminding you, hey, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act that. I think the good shepherd's reminding some of you in the room, hey, don't go there. Don't respond that way. Don't believe what everyone is saying to you. Listen, CLC, can allow the good shepherd to lead you this morning. Proverbs writes it this way, whoever heeds discipline shows the way of life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. I wrote down this way, and great notes for taking notes. To resist the shepherd's correction is to resist his protection. The sheep wanders off, right? I don't know about you, but I want his protection. Remember, we've talked about this before, but the sheep literally have no defense mechanisms, right? They are worthless, fluffy animals. They don't win fights. But if they stay close to their shepherd, hear me, everything's going to be okay. This morning, if you stay close to your shepherd, everything will be okay. Second practical is this, I think, trust his provision. Trust his provision. Like, I want to speak to some people in this room right now. Can I just remind you, I want you to be encouraged that you are not your provider. You think you are, that's what the world would love you to believe, but you're not your provider. The good shepherd is the provider. He's the one that's provided. He is the one that takes us to that place of satisfaction. He's the one that takes us to that place of abundance. Like Matthew 6, you know, the familiar scripture where Jesus is, you know, so it's talking. He says, why do you worry? What are you worried about? Why are you worried about what to eat? And why do you worry about what to drink and how your life's going to turn out? But I love it because he says that's the way the rest of the world thinks. That's what the rest of the world runs after. But I love the end of that, those scriptures, because it simply says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. It tells me he is a God of provision. And some of you are here this morning and you are in a really hard place financially. Can I encourage you? You can rest knowing your Father knows what you need. Some of you are in some really struggling places, whether it be through health or relationships or just in a place of indecision in your life, or you just had some difficulties. Can I just speak over your life? Your Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. The last practical I'd give you is simply this. I think he would tell us, remind us, here's a practical for your life. Trust his plan. Trust his plan. Psalms 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. And I love that last part. He will act. When you trust in him, he will act. Can I tell you, can I just encourage you with this morning? There are times that we make a lot of plans. And I just got to be real. Some of your plans aren't very good. They haven't worked out for you, right? They just haven't made it. That plan that you make, that you draw up, and you say, this is good and this is perfect. The other day, I was digging through something in one of our totes, and I came across a couple of drawings that my kids had made when they were little, and I remember them bringing them to me, and they would bring these drawings, and they would say, hey, Daddy, I drew you a picture. If you're a parent, grandparent, you've been there, right? They drew your picture, and you're like, oh, that's nice. What is it? What is it? You know, they draw this picture, and usually your response is, man, that's amazing. Thank you for that wonderful picture that you drew for me. How many know we do that with God? We're like, God, look at my plan that I drew. Here's how I mapped out. I drew it. I drew this plan, God, and look how good it is. And I think God in heaven's like, Awesome. What is it? That's a plan, all right? We come with God with our plans, right? We have them. You've all have. Maybe you still have them, right? Your whole life is planned out. I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to major in this, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make this amount of money, and I'm going to, you know, marry a beautiful woman or man or whatever, and we're going to have 50 kids and live in a van down by the river, and you know, we're going to... I'm going to have this amazing retirement plan, and I'm going to have kids by this age, and I'm going to be here, and we have all these plans that we've mapped out for our life. But hear me this morning. I'm just wondering, in this room, if we would change our perspective and we could get to the place where we say it like this: God, here's my plan. Great. God, here's my plan, but it changes. God, here's my plan. I give it to you. I give it to you. It's no longer my way, God, but it's your way. Because that's what a good shepherd does, is he has a plan for your life, and he leads you down the right path. How many know that his ways are better than your ways? His thoughts are better than your thoughts. And so, God, here's my plan, and I trust that the shepherd has a plan for my life. He has a specific plan, a specific direction, a path for me to go. Christian Life Center, I want you to get this morning. You need to know this today. The Good Shepherd will lead you and is leading you down the right path. You can rest in faith knowing this morning. Yes, it is easy to take wrong turns. It is easy to get off path. It's easy to go different directions. But you know what? The Bible gives us these amazing promises that we have a Good Shepherd that will pursue you. No matter where you are in life right now, whether you've been doing this for 80 years or 1 year, you're going to be prone to wander. And the same good shepherd that goes after the 1 year serving Christ and goes after the 80 years serving Christ. And he pursues you, and he takes his staff, and he leads you down the right path. But it comes to that place where you say, you know what, God, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace the fact that you are the good shepherd, that my plan is really your plan, and I submit myself to you. So this morning, Lord, the good shepherd, here I am. I allow you to lead me on the right path of righteousness. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's sing this together.
And he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has good plans. He has good plans for me. If I know my Father, I know my Father. He has.
that this morning? He's got good plans for your life. He's got amazing things for you. He's a good shepherd. Yeah. Man, I love a good shepherd takes ownership of his sheep. And man, you've got a heavenly father that owns you, that wants to own you, that wants to lead you, that wants to guide you, that wants to protect you. I just want to encourage you this morning that wherever you are, to take a point of your life and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I know the plan you have for me. I know that you want to keep me on that path. I think we wake up every day and we say, God, am I following you? Am I allowing you to lead me in my life? Direct me. Guide me. Lord, I will follow you wherever you want. So, Lord, I pray this today over your people, God, that you would help us to realize the plans you have for us. Maybe there's people in the room that are at a stage in life where, man, there are those points of indecision. There are those crises that are facing us. And Lord, let us get to the place right now where, Lord, we can just release that and say, hey, listen, I serve a good shepherd that will lead me down the right path. It may not look the way, God, that we will think it should look. The plan may not be mapped out the way we planned it. But Lord, we came together on this day and we submitted our plan to you. So as we do that this morning, God, may you lead us and guide us, and may you speak clearly to us this morning. Lastly, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to end with this. If you're here this morning, you've heard this talk about being led by God and this good shepherd who cares for you. And maybe your life has been led in so many different other ways. And you're ready to say, hey, God, I want to put my faith and trust in you and allow you, God, to lead me. And you're in that place this morning, you need to make that decision. Say, God, I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. I want to submit to this good shepherd named Jesus and allow him to lead me instead of the world. If that's you this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, really no one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. It's right where you're sitting. But if I just want to know who I'm praying for, if that's you this morning, would you just put your hand up real quick so I can see who you are? I just want to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. I see hands. Anyone else real quick before I pray? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Right now, Lord, I come before you and I pray for every hand that went up in this room and said, I want to be led by you, I want to be led by God. Thank you for the cross that represents the ultimate sacrifice of a good shepherd, that it represents how far the shepherd was willing to go to lay down their life for us so that we can serve you and eventually spend eternity celebrating with you. So, Lord, if you're in the room today and you raise your hand, maybe if you didn't raise your hand, that place, all you got to do right there where you're sitting, we're doing it with you, we're just saying, would you, Lord, come into my life? I invite you to lead me. I give you my plans and I submit them to you. Lord, forgive me today. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Allow your goodness to follow me and keep me on the right path. In Jesus' name. Real quick, thanks for your lead. We have this prayer corner over here by this cross. We have staff and a prayer team. If you're here today and maybe you made that commitment to, hey, I want to follow God my whole life, we'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you're just here and you just need prayer. You need someone just to lay hands on you. It's all between you and them, but we have this corner. We'd love to pray with you. Second thing is, my wife and I would love to meet you. If you're new here today, you're visiting, or you've been new in the last few weeks, my wife and I will be right down by this piano. We'd love to just say hi to you real quick and greet you. Thirdly, if you're here today and you're a college student, we have a free gift we'd like to give you. If you started in college, a free gift we'd like to give you at our Welcome Center. Just stop by real quick. It's just a little like, hey, here you go. Have some fun. So God bless you. We hope to see you Wednesday night. Everything that's going on. And we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center Weekly Podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.